last word on sport.
With Energia, from grassroots to greatness, we're proud to support Irish rugby. Energia, think of the possibilities.
Okay, lots to get through in the last word in sport. John O'Shea later in the hour. Will O'Callaghan from Off the Ball is with me, but I want to start with Paul Wallace, because so much that we can say about the hammering that Ireland took from France, 42-27, and the scoreline didn't reflect the reality of what had actually happened on the pitch. Could it be, though, that this really emphasised that we're a small rugby nation, particularly by comparison with the likes of France, and we simply don't have enough players with the type of power that France have, and we don't have enough players with the pace you need at top-level international rugby?
Yeah, we talked before the match about the power of the French, and especially the pace. Now, when you have James Lowe also crying off, who's probably our big X factor player, you know, he may not be the Bielberry pace, but he's very effective in tight spaces. You are a small country. You've got about 10 times as many players in France playing the game, and genetics, etc., all add up to that. And traditionally,
With the French, Paul, it's genetics of the imported players. I know there were elements of the UK media giving out about Ireland after England as to how many of our players have been born elsewhere. But that applies a bit with France as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, some Polynesian players have been, you know, brought in very early on, you know, from the islands, so which has been something that needs to be looked at when you already have the amount of players that they have playing down there. But you have to take your hat off them. France played really, really great rugby. Ireland had their opportunities at times, you know, being held up twice over the line. You know, I think that's so naive, our body height against the big, powerful French, you know, throwing that interception when we should have been about to run in for another try by Prendergast. You know, so there were chances for Ireland, you know, dominated possession and territory, but it was just that 20-minute spell in the second half when France cut loose. But you always felt that with any, you know, they bit like a good All Black side, you know, all they needed was a half chance and they could go and finish. Their defence was also fantastic. I think Sean Edwards has to take a big bow there. They, you know, Fico used to be the guy who really controlled it. With him out of there, I thought their midfield was very impressive compared to what I would have expected. I thought it's an area we might have dominated. So all in all, you know, very good performance by France. They also got breaks. You know, obviously Dupont got injured, which didn't go well for them, but you know, the Omani takeout off it was I still can see absolutely zero reason why that try wasn't disallowed and a penalty given for taking Flamand taking Omani out. It was just so blatant.
So why then do you think did the ref refuse to accept the information given to him by the TMO?
Yeah, what he said, what's this matador backpedaling? I've never heard anything like it before. There was a certain gap where Gross went through. Omani was backpedaling to get into that position. They went straight through. It was just so clear cut for me. I cannot understand or fathom how that wasn't a try.
Okay, but that only have been delaying the inevitable, though, Paul. Or is it that on things like that games turn because momentum develops and then a team as good as the French can exploit that momentum?
I think they were, because then you had that bench, you know, their pack coming on, those big forwards. And I think that's really when the power started to dominate, just for about 15 minutes or so. Yes, but the other thing is mentally, you know, French side sometimes get something knocked there. It's a bit of a step back. We go down into their territory. We score again. You know, we were 13-8 up at that stage. Things could happen. You can never tell what would have happened if something came back. But for me, I thought it was a pretty disgraceful decision that wasn't chalked off that try.
Okay. Are we not maybe giving enough credit to France for being absolutely brilliant?
Yeah, I mean, look, they put the foot in the gas straight after the Dan Sheehan try. Really, Ireland collapsed a bit after going ahead. You know, 13-8 up, you thought that was going to be the time that Ireland would start to control things a little bit more. First half, they played very well, I thought, for 20-25 minutes without putting scores on the board. You had the Prendergast penalty, which he probably should have scored, that came back off the post, that didn't put Ireland in front. Even they reacted well after that to get back within touching distance at half-time with his long kick. And you're just thinking, once Sheehan goes over, this is the platform for Ireland now. You knew that France were going to unload the bench, despite the fact they were, you know, forced into the change with Dupont's knee injury that the power was coming. And once the power came, Ireland had no great response. And it felt like there were two main areas that Ireland struggled with. The power of the French pack, which beat up Ireland for the last 20, 25 minutes of the game, which definitely gave France the platform for those 34 unanswered points. But also, so many times Ireland were lacking pace, not just out wide. And Mac Hansen and James Lowe aren't the quickest of wingers anyway, but I thought Osborne struggled a bit on the left wing. And obviously, Calvin Nash had to come out of the cold and spent that time in the bin for the yellow card as well. But there was a lack of pace between the two centres, whether it's a case of Bundiaki and Robbie Henshaw maybe being too similar. Definitely the bit of nous that you get from Gary Ringrose is missing as well, Matt. And Ireland lacked that creativity. And this is something we've been going back to repeatedly. Second half against New Zealand back in the autumn at the World Cup when questions were asked when Ireland had the ball a lot. And now this France game, maybe even England at Twickenham last year as well. Ireland struggled sometimes to really stretch the game.
Indeed, Paul. Bernard Jackman had a very interesting line in his piece in the Sunday Independent yesterday. Said, you know, I should have predicted what unfolded in hindsight. After three rounds, Ireland had the lowest line-out success, lowest scrum success, lowest ruck success, lowest tackle success, and the least metres gained of the six teams in the tournament. Now, they'd won those three games despite all of that. But actually, when you play the real top quality, and France are a level above anything, despite England having beaten them, France are a level above England. But that would suggest we have all sorts of issues that needed addressing.
Yeah, and I think they went, took it pretty well. The scrum wasn't really an issue. The line out, I think, was one overthrow, was it? Maybe two missed. But it was generally functioning quite well. So I think they did address some of those things. The breakdown, you know, it was a tough one to call. You know, there's a lot of pointing at each other at that, but I certainly saw a couple of side entries which are really bad. And you know, Gardner, the referee, I know that one of the big concerns they had was how he refereed the breakdown. And I thought, the amount of injuries. You look at the DuPont injury. I thought, for me, you know, he put his leg forward and probably got himself into a bad position. But pre 1995, you know, people weren't allowed to stick their hands in there, and the amount of injuries that you get with guys, you know, getting into really bad positions, and one person comes to clear you, and the second guy then he puts you off, and then the second guy's hips, knees, and that. And for me, I can't understand why World Rugby hasn't tried to go back where you have to ruck over the ball before the ball can be played away. I think would involve more players out of the defensive line as well. If they start hitting the rocks, but for some reason it's an area that they haven't wanted to go, and it was such a deep concern to see someone like DuPont pick up an injury like that.
Terrible. I was in perfect line with it from behind the goal, and you could see immediately as it happened that's a bad injury, but you could also see it was, as Gardner correctly said, a rugby accident. It wasn't any malicious intent or anything like that. There's other things though I want to bring up in relation to the Irish performance, Paul. Unfortunately, and I suppose it's been created by the management, there's this all big debate about the out-half position, because if you were trying to make the argument that this is trying to develop two class out-halves to have available for the World Cup, well, actually in the Six Nations, all the time has been given to Sam Prendergast. And even when he was struggling behind a beaten Irish pack, he was kept in there rather than Jack Crowley going to out-half alongside Bundiaki. Have we reached the stage where would it be unfair to Sam Prendergast to bench him next week? But also, similarly, would it be unfair to Jack Crowley not to give him his chance?
Yeah, look, Crowley's he had a poor, inconsistent start to the season, but his form coming into Six Nations was very good. He's got the experience ahead of Prendergast. I think Prendergast has been shown some amazing touches, some of his pass selection, kick selection when he takes the ball to the line. But for me, he's got one huge error, and it's not his defence and physicality, which some people seem to pick him up on, but he's not really a running threat. You know, he doesn't, and you look at that Ramos interception, he didn't have to bite down at all, because he doesn't run hard before he pulls those out. And I think that's one area that Crowley does do. And it just creates a bit more space, because it attracts eyeballs if you're a real running threat like that. But he's improving, you know, game on game. I think he's going to make errors the way he plays, and, you know, coming to the line and making those decisions. It would be a tough call on him. I'd say they would stay with Prendergast, for Italy. But I'd like to see Crowley certainly get some game time.
Okay, and I suppose there are now a lot of people, Will, saying, do we need to have more changes should players maybe changes on the wing? Jamie Osborne might have a lot of potential as a centre fullback, but doesn't have the speed to be a winger or the instincts, because a lot of times when Prendergast was looking for him, he wasn't moving.
He's a 12 who's also a capable 15.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to Osborne, 12 will be his best position.
Okay, so that's very different to playing out on the wing.
Well, he's struggled against Bath in the Champions Cup as well, so yeah.
You could bring back Jacob Stockdale. Defensive concerns aside, he does get tries. Somebody like Tommy O'Brien could possibly get brought in. Now, Mac Hansen will be back. But are we now actually seeing that maybe it's sort of the elephant in the room that we hadn't actually discussed enough, is that other than Leinster, the Irish provinces are not going well. Ulster's in a really bad place. Connacht win a few games here, a few games there. Munster, wildly inconsistent, need a major rebuild. And simply, the other three provinces are not providing enough players and enough depth in various positions.
Yeah, I think wing is very central to that. And this comes at a time when the RFU have just announced as well, Matt, they're going to cut back funding for the Sevens programme, where you would think, you know, potentially there could be some more crossover players there. We've seen how Hugo Keenan has been able to adapt back into 15s after playing in Sevens. I'm not saying that at the moment the current crop are perfectly ready to adapt into 15s rugby, but there's definitely a move away from building those skills. And we've become so accustomed to Mac Hansen and James Lowe being available so often that nearly all the big games they've been the starting players. It's one of those positions where depth has not really been built in the last 3 to 4 seasons, really since Mac Hansen arrived, which is on 22.
Yeah, so we're really missing the likes of your Keith Earls and your Simon Zeebos and players like that who had a natural flair. We don't seem to be producing Irish wingers like that anymore.
And I'm sure it wasn't the first choice, I would say, to put Osborne in on the right wing, particularly when he uses his left boot when they named the team. I was surprised that Nash wasn't named to start originally. He's become kind of the emergency option, but does that say that they don't have huge faith in Nash if they're not picking him as the direct replacement, that it takes James Lowe getting a back spasm in the warm-up in order to actually bring him in?
So, Paul, should we be concerned that the provinces are not going well enough? Particularly, I mean, okay, Leinster have a conveyor belt, they've won every game in the URC, but we'll see, will they win the Champions Cup? Even if they do win the Champions Cup, does that sort out Irish rugby's problems if the other provinces aren't going well?
Yeah, it's... David Humphreys has very much addressed that it's not a case of bringing Leinster back, but advancing the other provinces and a lot more investment. You know, you talk to some rugby people in the other provinces, and you know who've been around at the professional end, and you got the professional approach by the players in Leinster is generally that bit ahead, and that comes the whole way down from diet at a young age to weight training to power, etc. So there is that. I think that needs to be addressed, a bit like we've seen with the renaissance of Italian rugby. Really, it's not about trying to affect, you know, when you're in the academies. It's got to be pre that. It's got to be 13, 14. You need to start developing these players professionally. You look at Leinster, a lot of these players are 19, 20 and they're coming out as full professionals. It's quite amazing how well they've advanced there. But then there's a lot more money in the school system for top coaching as well, which I know especially in Limerick has been an issue at the schools, and the Cork teams are dominating there. And, you know, you've always wanted maybe, you know, two or three Limerick forwards, I think traditionally in great Irish packs, you have coming out of there, and it doesn't seem to be that conveyor belt of forwards, especially coming out of Limerick, which is very disappointing to see.
Okay. There's a number of listeners mentioning other wingers. Jordan Larmour, I think, is injured at present, although he certainly had flair. Jimmy O'Brien, good player. He's had his injury issues. Tommy O'Brien, a lot of people would like to give a chance to. Stockdale. Another one here says, though, Munster have won more than all the other provinces the last three seasons. Maybe it's a case, how do we expect our national team to do well, made up of mostly Leinster players who, when the chips are down, haven't won anything. This seems to be transferred to the Irish setup. It's a bit tough. It comes from a Munster address, though.
I guess. I think Mike Catt has missed as well, Matt. Like, sure. He had a big influence on the way that Ireland attacked. That's not having a Papa Goodman, who's obviously had, what, about a year and a half at it now at this stage, but I feel Ireland's attack has definitely regressed since Mike Catt left.
Okay, we'll come back to this again. Will O'Callaghan, stay with me. Paul Wallace, thank you.
The last word on sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia, think of the possibilities.